You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
You know, I wish everyone could win the essay contest.
Well, if the many worlds interpretation of quantum mechanics is true, then perhaps everyone does win the essay contest in some parallel universe.
You don't really believe in parallel universes, do you?
A more pertinent question is, did Hugh Everett III, who first formulated the theory, actually believe in them? So, you know, in quantum mechanics, before you observe something, it can exist in a superposition of multiple states, only snapping into one set state when you look at it.
Yes, yes, and if you shut a physicist in a box with some radioactive poison, he will be both alive and dead until you open the box.
But please don't do that. But yes, Everett's the physicist who said that when you open the box, reality splits and two parallel universes are created. One where a living, but angry, physicist emerges from the box, and one where you're arrested for murder. Today, more than 50 years since Everett first proposed this, many physicists take the idea very seriously.
Now FQXI member and investigative journalist Peter Byrne and philosopher Jeffrey Barrett at the University of California, Irvine, have collected together Everett's works. Their new book, titled The Everett Interpretation of Quantum Mechanics, Collected Works 1955 to 1980 with Commentary, has been published by Princeton University Press and includes two versions of Everett's PhD thesis, in which he first outlined the multiple universe theory, along with other writings of his. While compiling it, they found themselves questioning whether the man famed as the father of quantum parallel worlds really believed these many universes exist. This is Byrne's second project based on Everett, having already written a biography of the man. He began by telling me what first attracted him to write about the physicist, and how Everett's troubled personality may have inspired his insights.
About 10 years ago, I got interested in writing about physics because my best friend is a string theorist who's at Stanford University. His name is Steve Schenker. And I asked Steve, well, what's a good thing to write about? And he goes, well, there was this guy named Hugh Everett who came up with this theory of multiple universes. So we Googled him, and the sole survivor of the family was this famous rock singer named Mark Everett of the band The Eels. So I thought, well, this would be cool. I'd like to do a story on this rock singer with a weird dad who had this theory of multiple universes that all these physicists that I've been talking to actually take seriously for some reason I don't understand. And FQXI gave me a wonderful grant that allowed me to spend 18 months just working on the book, which was published in the spring of 2010. It's called The Many Worlds of Hugh Everett III, Multiple Universes, Mutual Assured Destruction, and the Meltdown of a Nuclear Family. At any rate, it's been doing nicely. It'll be coming out in paperback this year.
The subtitle of that book, I guess, refers to something that at least I didn't realize about Hugh Everett, which was that he worked in a number of different areas that perhaps we wouldn't necessarily have expected. He wasn't just focused down on this idea of parallel worlds.
Everett went to work right before he got his doctorate approved, actually, at the Pentagon. And one of the reasons that he went there instead of academia was that he had a lot of trouble getting his thesis approved. He left Princeton in 1956 as his theory was being debated, and he went to work for the Weapons Systems Evaluation Group at the Pentagon and basically became the chief mathematician and in charge of all their computer activities. They had, of course, cutting-edge, state-of-the-art computers, and their mandate was basically to game World War III using game theory and computers. And Everett invented a famous algorithm, which is still used in military applications, deciding how many hydrogen bombs to drop on how many enemies at what rate and how to manufacture them and stuff like that, which is what Everett did while he was at the Pentagon and then later as a private consultant for a firm he started called Lambda Corporation. So here was a guy who actually had good reason to believe that all physically possible worlds existed, including trillions of copies of himself. And in some subset of those worlds, nuclear war was occurring due to the types of operations research and computer programs that he himself was designing.
You're really setting up a picture of a man, you know, almost a paradox in himself, that he believed in the existence of parallel worlds, and yet he was able to somehow reconcile that with working on the atom bomb, where, you know, presumably in some worlds, you know, more were detonated than others. As you researched it, and when you went through and you wrote the book, did your opinion of him change? Did you still think of him as this kind of strange, weird figure?
Well, he got weirder and weirder the more I found out about him, actually. He was a swinger. He was a sexual swinger. He drank to excess. He partied hard. He had affairs. And his children had problems with behavior and drugs and depression. And it was just a kind of suburban nightmare that his family lived through. Everett died in 1982 of a heart attack at the age of 51. He died drunk. His autopsy shows that he was legally drunk. He, over 88, lots of fatty foods. His arteries were completely clogged. He smoked like a chimney, and his lungs had tons of tar in them. And he also died almost broke, and his various businesses had gone down the tubes, and he was spending his savings, and he didn't know what to do, and he was freaking out. And he one night went up to bed and laid down on it fully clothed and died of a heart attack. And his son Mark, who was 19 at the time, found him the next morning, tried to resuscitate him, but he was cold, stiff, and dead, and ended up being removed from the house in a black plastic bag.
Do you think that aspects of his personality led him to be able to have the insight that other people hadn't, you know, allowing him to put forth this theory about parallel worlds?
Well, he was very perverse in the sense that he was kind of rebellious, like lots of alcoholics are. But more to the point, he loved paradoxes. In 1954, when he started at Princeton on his doctoral program in physics, he needed a thesis topic. And people can take years and years to select topics and then write them. And he wanted to get out as quick as possible because he wanted to make money. And at Princeton at the time, Bohr was around, and the measurement problem was being discussed in Everett's classes. So I think Everett thought it was kind of funny. You know, he would take this paradox, the measurement problem, and solve it mathematically. And, you know, he did solve it mathematically. Whether or not you believe it's physically true is another question. Whether or not he believed it was physically true is another question, which is actually the subject partially of the second book that Jeff and I did. But he got great enjoyment out of kind of punking the establishment with this and exposing the Copenhagen school based in Bohr's Institute and Bohr himself as hypocrites, because they were basically saying that we can't talk about what goes on inside the quantum world, and therefore anybody that does will not be allowed to work in physics.
You said that it's not even clear that Hugh Everett actually himself believed that his theory was perhaps realized physically. And I guess that brings us to your second book then.
Yeah, it was interesting because when I went to Oxford and got around all these famous physicists and world-renowned philosophers and people that believed pretty much literally, a number of them anyway, in Everett's worlds, that his relative states formulation had ontological reality, and that indeed there were trillions and trillions of copies of themselves roaming around a multiverse and doing everything that was physically possible, including killing their own mothers and horrible things like that, as well as becoming trillionaires and whatever. And we're developing entire moral theories based on what if, you know. I began to think to myself, well, could this be true? And certainly, you know, as a simple investigative reporter, before I got enmeshed in the world of quantum theory, I thought there was only one universe. And what happened was that after I found all these papers showing the evolution of Everett's theory that had never been published, and I hooked up with Jeffrey Barrett at the University of California in Irvine, who had written a book in 1999 about Many Worlds and Minds, I think it's called. But anyway, Jeff and I sat down to do this, and in the beginning, I was pretty much predisposed to think that Everett himself believed in the physical reality of his many worlds. He had told George Pugh, who was one of his colleagues at some point, that he thought it was 70% true that there were many worlds. And he had occasionally made comments in which he referred to these worlds. He did a presentation to a panel of renowned physicists in 1962 at Xavier University, included Dirac and Wigner and Wendell Fury and Boris Podolsky and others. And Podolsky asked him point blank if there were parallel worlds, and Everett basically said, yeah. However, it's still unclear whatever it meant in a sense. And so Jeff and I, when we were putting this together, had a lot of debate about whether or not Everett believed in the ontological reality of these parallel universes. And so the position that we came up with, which I thoroughly endorse, was that Everett was a theorist, and what he was looking for was to create a mathematically consistent, logical model of the world that was empirically faithful to the world as we know it, because using his model, you could find the world as we know it in it. Now, does that mean we can find the other universes? No, we empirically are not finding those other universes, but it is certainly possible that they're there, and we cannot rule them out. That's the most important thing. They cannot be ruled out by this theory. So we're saying that on Everett's terms, his theory succeeded in the physical world, but that does not mean that he necessarily believed that there were all these other ontologically real physical universes out there. He never said definitively whether he believed that or not, because how could he? Everett was an empiricist. Now, so this actually gets quite interesting in terms of the current debates about Everett, that there's a metaphysical reality underlying all of this. And as far as Everett's concerned, I don't think Everett would agree with that at all.
No, that's really interesting. I guess it had never occurred to me exactly what Everett's viewpoint was, or that there would be subtlety in that. I think that's another thing that I guess you just sort of take for granted.
Yeah, I mean, the theory was popularized by Bryce DeWitt in the 70s. And DeWitt admits that he did this deliberately. He wanted to cause controversy because he wanted the theory to get debated, was that there would be, you know, multiple universes branching off from every quantum event with a schizophrenic vengeance, as he called it, and stuff like that. And he printed, you know, that in Physics Today, and there was a huge debate in the editorial pages of Physics Today for months afterwards. And the controversy actually did succeed in getting Everett's theory put into the mainstream of physics and philosophy. But, you know, Everett never took an opportunity to come out during these controversies, which were going on during the entire 1970s while he was still alive, and he was aware of them, and he was following them. We have proof that he was following them because he was reading papers by Bell and others and making comments on them, not all of them nice, some of them cursing, especially when they criticized him. He never actually chose to say whether or not he thought that these worlds were ontologically and physically real. And it would have been absurd politically for him to come out and say, well, yeah, I really believe that all these worlds are real. And by the way, this planet is being vaporized by hydrogen bombs that I helped to build in any number of them. You know, that's the kind of contradiction people don't personally want to deal with.
Would you have to be trained in mathematics or physics to read these papers, or is it accessible to people who are just interested in these ideas and in Everett?
Yeah, I think this book is very accessible to people that are not trained in physics and mathematics. And we even were able to reproduce copies of some of the changes that he made in his drafts. Now, we had always regretted that apparently there was no longer a copy of the original dissertation that Everett sent to DeWitt in about 1972 that became the template for the original Princeton University Press publication of Everett's theory, the Many Worlds Interpretation of Quantum Mechanics, edited by Bryce DeWitt and Neil Graham. We never could find a copy of that anywhere in the basement. Well, it turns out, about halfway through this project, Mark called me up one day and he goes, hey, you know, I'm moving, and I was packing up a bunch of books, and I found this weird manuscript. Looks like something important. So he FedExed it to me, and indeed, it was the very copy that Everett had sent to DeWitt to be published with his changes that he put in it. And he had rewritten a good deal of the chapter on probability to bring it up to date and to address certain types of remarks that had been made. And not all of the changes actually ended up being incorporated. I mean, there's a very famous footnote, for instance, on the difficulty of language and whether or not observers can have trans-universal identities. If you are constantly splitting in this multiple universe scenario, then the question arises for philosophers, at least, is if you still have an identity as, say, Zia. I mean, if Zia is splitting, how many splits can the Zia entity encompass before it's no longer Zia? You know, is it Zia Prime, Zia 2000, or whatever? And that's Everett said that was a language difficulty. And some people would use that to say that Everett didn't believe in the ontological reality of his world. In fact, Jeff and I argued probably more about that footnote than any other single thing in this entire project. And when we got the manuscript from Mark, he had put omit. He had wanted it actually omitted from the version of his thesis that was printed by Princeton in 1972. But for some reason, Princeton printed it anyway, you know. So anyway, we actually reprint the facsimiles of some of those in this book, which is very accessible, I think, to anybody, whether they're a historian of science or a physicist or a philosopher or just a general reader who wants to actually get into it and see what they can get out of reading the original source material. There's no reason not to read Everett's actual dissertation in its original format. We reproduced it very nicely. So I think that for people that are naturally curious about the nature of reality and want to challenge their minds so they don't end up getting Alzheimer's, because you have to exercise your brain, otherwise you get Alzheimer's, buy this book.
That was Peter Byrne talking to Zia. You could find out more about his original biography of Everett, supported by FQXI, on the website www.fqxi.org/community/podcast, where you'll also find a video of a talk on truth by Byrne.